Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, artist, author, and CEO of Kids EQ, Rowan Gabrielle.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Ilana Lorraine. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Our guest's book tonight that we are going to be talking about is The Age of Consciousness, Surfing the Disruption. Okay, so that's what it is. Now, the very first time I glanced at the book cover a while back, I glanced at it quickly knowing I was going to dig in, and this is what I read. The Age of Consciousness, Suffering Through the Disruption. And I thought, boy, is that true. And then knowing what our guest is all about, I thought to myself, that can't be right. So I looked at it again, and of course, it is Surfing Through the Disruption. And I thought, whoa, goes to show you where my mind is or was. Or was it? It's actually a really good question for me. Is it like a Freudian slip? Did I see suffering because that's what I'm going through? Did I see suffering because that's what I see? And or am I surfing through the disruption, or can I be surfing more better? So even though this show is evergreen, our show is especially this topic. So no matter when one is listening to this show, whether that be a month from when it was recorded or several years, here in this moment, we are in 2025, at the very beginning of 2025, as a matter of fact, we ourselves are in America, and not just America, but California, which means something deeper, and not just California, but Los Angeles, where at the moment there are lots of fires going on, and we've been suffering through the fires. And more people, so many more people worse than us, and et cetera. So our guest is in England as we speak and as we record this show. And we know there is much disruption going on there on many, many levels. So how are we doing? This is such a good time to check in. It's such a good time to have this conversation. It's such a good time to either know how or learn how to surf through the disruption. And there are ways to do that, ways that we could employ right now, and ways that we can help children employ. And that's also part of the focus, is children, because if we had learned this as children, it almost would be an automatic thing. And it would most certainly, I think, support us in this moment and every moment. And I should say, disruption isn't necessarily some of the negative things that I've mentioned. Disruption could be something extremely positive. It's still disruption. Then these are still tools that we need in every moment of our life. Can't wait to get into this conversation.
And on top of that, with all these fires, surfing sounds like a really good idea.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Malibu and Palisades, yeah, the surfers there. Yes, what a contrast.
Definitely a contrast. I'm really, really excited for tonight's conversation. Rowan has such a presence and has been so far ahead of the market and the wave and the evolution. And so to bring this wisdom today where it's ever more relevant is really exciting.
As a matter of fact, we've titled this episode, inspired by our guest, How to Build Bright Futures with Emotional Education. This is our episode 827, and our guest is many things, Most importantly for this conversation, she is CEO of Kids EQ. She's an artist and an author, as we've talked about, and we'll talk about more. Welcome, Rowan Gabrielle, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. And I loved your story. You had me absolutely giggling over here. Brilliant story. I love those little Freudian slips. It is hilarious.
They can be telling also, right, Rowan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it, you know, it is, there is a lot of suffering and that's very real, you know. So I'm not surprised that you saw that, especially, you know, being in LA right now. You guys are in the thick of it. Bless you.
Well, and we know there's lots going on over there. As a matter of fact, while we're having this conversation, there's weather and even the positive disruptions. So there could be something extremely wonderful going on. Before we go on, actually, though people don't look at this, the tools we'll talk about as important necessarily for positive, can you share how, let's say, how it just positive disruption could also require tools to manage through, to surf through?
Absolutely. Well, all change creates chaos because it's a disruption in our regular rhythm, in our schedule. And so you're absolutely right. All disruption, you know, needs to be addressed. And that little simple book that you introduced, you know, The Age of Consciousness, is, it's just, I mean, it's only 27 pages. It's the shortest book we ever wrote. And it took us a really long time. It took us, you know, the best part of a year, because we kept on distilling everything that we had built together over the, it was the very last project of our marriage before my husband passed away. So it was the 30 years that we had spent together, which was a very fast 30 years. It was really developing all these tools constantly together. So there was all, we were always like in this kind of development process. And obviously we didn't know he was leaving, but in retrospect, this was really the kind of culmination and the essence of everything that we had studied together. And so it's these very simple seven steps that start with a pause. You know, when you're in a disruption, it's really important to pause and to start reading the information personally, taking the information in personally, what the message is to me personally, because obviously a lot of disruptions are happening to all of us. But what the message is to me and what the message is to you is actually quite often different because of where we are in our own personal life's journey.
Mm. Speaking of our own personal life journey, yes, Ayman Salwaf is no longer with us. Your husband, the co-author of this book, talk about disruption, grief, sorrow, sadness. And it hasn't been that long ago. So these tools that you all worked on and helped other people with and wrote about, how did they come into play in that moment for you or in this time?
They were the biggest gift. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes even to think of it, because I was so grateful for the time that we spent co-creating this, because this book guided me like you wouldn't believe. I mean, when he died, we lived in Lebanon. And so it wasn't just my husband and the father of my child, my business partner, but it was also our home, because it wasn't really, it just wasn't the right time for my son and I to be in Lebanon without an Arab-speaking husband. the country was in too much turmoil. Our house was, for the first time in our lives, was run by Ayman. And because it was all run in Arabic, you know, we lived in the mountains. And so within 8 days of his death, we were in California staying with family. Mm. And with our cat, we flew with our beautiful white cat, who was absolutely our healer through everything. And so there was constantly these times when I was like suddenly the person we were staying with didn't want my cat. And I was like, if you don't want my cat, then I'm, you don't want us. And I would go into this kind of despair and the grief, and then I would remember that I'm in partnership. One of the 7 steps is to remember that at this time in history, when humanity is waking up, that's the age of consciousness. We are not alone. And if we really believe that, and we really believe that we do create our reality, then obviously we must be doing it in partnership. What's happening to us must be, for us, not against us, even when it's hard. And so I would just remember that partnership, and I would go into a meditation, and I would take myself into a bliss state, which I'm able to do, from 30 years of meditating. And I would just go into the unknown, and within 20 minutes or a few hours, someone would have called and been like, "Hey, why don't you come as would love to see you, blah blah blah. Of course you can bring the cat, And so the cat actually became really like our guide, where she was welcome during that time of finding out where we were going to live, literally guided our path. And it took us 2 years to actually finally come to where we, to where we are now, where we have really put down roots, and my son loves his school. And that journey was, it was challenging, but there was a perfection to it because it took me through the grieving process. That the challenges were like what I needed to face. And so it wasn't too harsh. It was just constant. It was like, these kind of steps. And I can't even tell you the amount of times I remembered this book and remembered the steps. And I didn't have to read it because I'd spent so long writing it. It's indelibly printed in my mind.
Wow. Thank you. And I hear that you already went through 2 steps or alluded to 2 steps. And I'd like to delve into that. But before we do, we are talking emotional, lots of things, emotional learning, emotional quotient. Tell us emotional literacy, which you're focused on with Kids EQ. So what are we talking about for those who don't know?
Well, in this book particularly, the Age of Consciousness, we are talking more about the ability, emotional intelligence in general, but we're really reaching into the ability to do emotional alchemy. And that's what, when you study this and you get into it for years, you do start being able to do emotional alchemy. And so you can hit those despair points like I was talking about, and you can go in meditation, and 20 minutes later you can come out in bliss. And in fact, even a really great emotional alchemist, you can do it real time, standing in the airport when they've cancelled your flight, and they can suddenly give you a new flight. This is the power of emotional alchemy, because remember, our emotions really are what creates the interference pattern between us and our reality. So the quicker we can transform our base emotions, anger, fear, and jealousy, into their higher octaves, then the quicker we can change our reality. Now, obviously, that's not where we start. We start with emotional literacy. And in an ideal world, we'd all learn emotional literacy between 4 and 11 years old as children. And my son grew up learning emotional literacy in his household. He never, when they grow up with it in their household, you almost don't have to teach them, because they just know it's how you deal, because they watch and they see. Well, that's how you deal. If there's something that comes up, you discuss it and you name it and you get to the bottom of it and you express it. You don't stuff it and manipulate and, all of the things that are so socially acceptable and so prevalent in our culture, especially our Western cultures.
I got to hear an episode or two of your podcast. I don't remember what it was called, but your son was on it, and I was very impressed to hear what he was saying at such a young age, and coming from a place of not just a prepared speech, but he was answering questions and coming up with the answers or speaking his truth of, and it showed
Yeah.
an understanding of, a deep understanding of this work.
Yeah. It was really a great gift that we had him. I mean, Iman and I were together for 20 years, and we were developing, he was developing this work before we met. And it was one of the things that I absolutely fell in love with. Here was this extraordinary, man that was very worldly and wealthy and all of this. And he was pouring all of his wealth. And when I say pouring, I mean pouring into creating these books and films and programs with no idea of whether he would ever make a penny back. It was absolutely his gift to humanity, because he had himself been through such a healing journey when he realized that all of his health problems were from stuffed emotions. And so when he realized that with his brilliance, I mean, he was a genius mentally, he was brilliant, brilliant man. And so when he realized that someone that had 2 degrees and was super overeducated could get themselves in such a mess just from not having dealt with their emotions, he was like, this, should have been taught to me as a child, and no child should have to grow up without this knowledge. And he just turned around and poured his wealth into creating these tools for children.
Well, thank you to him, and thank you to you. What a beautiful legacy and work. So when you are talking about being able to, for example, at the airport, handle this experience, we're not talking about, definitely not talking about stuffing it down or avoiding it, right? Running away from it. On the contrary.
No. We're talking about, maybe we step into the bathroom, we close our eyes, and we feel it with so much intensity, like literally, like, you're not going to physically punch the wall, but in your mind's eye, punch the wall. Like, you literally feel that energy going through you and out. And then you bring in an experience. A memory of great joy, something high resonance. You think of something so beautiful, like the love of your life, whatever it is, that will raise your resonance. And that causes your brain to secrete the happy hormones. And then the happy hormones mix with the hormones of the anger, which is actually a very, anger is our most active emotion. So it gives us a lot of energy. It's what creates passion. Passion comes from anger. If you're not angry, you're not passionate, And so those hormones mix together, and all of a sudden you've released the anger that you was festering in your body because of the situation. You've brought in some joy, you've opened up your energy field, and something has can flow in. Like, you're not in that kind of stuck pattern anymore. Like, you're back in conversation with the universe.
So we're talking conversation with the universe. We're talking about something that happens to us or around us. What about how important this is between people?
To me, this is the single most important subject in the world when it comes to relationships. We always say that emotional intelligence is the language of relationships. Because if you think about single societal ill that we're facing today, my husband said this to me about 25 years ago. He said, Rowan, just look, drug abuse, dysfunctional relationships, divorces, greed in the stock market, embezzlement, all of these things that we're facing all come from an emotion that went out of check, out of, that wasn't dealt with for so long, it ended up blowing up. Your anger doesn't immediately turn to violence. You've been angry 50, 100, 1,000 times before you turn to violence. Embezzlement doesn't just come from a little feeling of jealousy and greed. It comes from it being over and over and over and over, And so all of these things that people are trying to like fix in the outside world are actually really internal problems that have not been dealt with.
Interesting. How do we recognize, like, what are some of the signs of somebody who hasn't or doesn't know how to do this or hasn't done this kind of work?
Well, the thing about emotions is it doesn't actually matter how much work we've done. Emotions are going to happen to us in and out of every moment of every day. This is our natural state. The difference between someone that has learned to work with them and to kind of, I mean, I think of emotions as like almost like messages from our reality, from our guides, whatever you, however you want to think about it, but it's the messages to us of what we need to deal with in our reality. Like anger is a message that there's something that I'm not okay with in my reality, right? It's a message that I need to deal with it. So if I stop, talk to my colleagues, my partners, my son, whoever I need to talk with and come up with a solution, then I can start navigating that. When I don't deal with it and I suppress it, that's when it starts either festering in my body and creating illness, or it'll end up, you know, spewing out of me as, you know, screaming at somebody or violence, or I'll try and numb it with drugs, or I'll try it has to go through me in some way. So if I don't do it consciously, I will express it unconsciously. It has to be expressed because it's that much of a forceful energy.
Wow. You mentioned three energies or words that are talk about energies or emotions that are fundamental. I think you said anger, fear, and jealousy, was it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought the jealousy. Obviously that's big, but we how do those how do those differ and how do they come into play?
Well, the way we've kind of talk about these three emotions as the root emotions, because they actually go with our chakras. You know, fear is a first chakra issue, anger is a second chakra issue, jealousy is a third chakra issue. Jealousy is around power, right? So when we're jealous of something, we want something that somebody else has, and we don't think we have the power to have it. So we see it as something outside that we're not allowed, you know? And so jealousy is an amazing message. It shows you what you want. But if you don't listen to it as a message and you just feel it, it gets very toxic and it turns to envy, which doesn't just want what the other person has, but it wants them to fail and it wants them not to have it. And then that envy, if it's not addressed, turns to rage. So all of these emotions have these kind of positive escalations and negative escalations. If we, you know, either look at them or don't look at them, depending on whether we look at them or don't look at them.
Wow. Speaking of looking at and not looking at and what do we see, going through the steps that you mention in the book, The Age of Consciousness, the one that I didn't expect was step two, the narrows. Can we talk about that, please? 'Cause that caught me off guard for a moment. Loved it.
I'd love to. And actually it's a very poignant timing for me to talk about it because I feel like I've just come out of them. So the narrows is when your reality is falling apart in some respect. So in some way you're up against the wall. Your finances aren't working, your partner's leaving you, your kids are in trouble, whatever it is, you're having to move. Like whatever it is, you're not quite in that flow state with it within your reality, and things are changing too quickly and you can't quite keep up. So you're not in an expansive state. Because when you're in an expansive state, which is love, joy, happiness, then you have a lot of choices, right? If you're feeling great, you can choose to go to the movies, you can choose to go to work, you can choose to stay home, you know, like your choices are very open. But when you're scared and when you're, you know, there's things looming, it narrows your choices. And that's part of the positive impact of those emotions. We need to narrow our focus sometimes. Life is not always a big, expansive party. Sometimes we need to make choices. We need to sculpt ourselves. So the narrows is really like the birth canal. It's the equivalent of the birth canal. And obviously, as people, that are coming into or wanting to grow into greater and greater consciousness, we are going to go through more and more rebirths of ourselves as we expand. And so when you're in the narrows, you're not thinking so much about the big picture. Excuse me. Although, of course, you have, you know your vision, so it's out there somewhere as a beacon, but you're very much keeping your choices, your decisions to one after one after one. And what the decisions are around are always the top priority. So if it's your finances that are unraveled, then you're constantly going, okay, what is the next most important thing for me to do to reel my finances back in? Okay, I need to, phone the bank and deal with this, or I need to put out my new offering or whatever it is, but your choices are limited because you're addressing the immediate need, the immediate pressing need. And I actually feel like I have been in a 6 years narrows, not that it was super crunchy the whole time, but that I was in that phase of having to be very focused because there was the 3 years before my husband left, when we were in a difficult situation because of his health, and that affected our finances. And so we were making these choices, and this is what the book came out of, because we realized that we had to disrupt our lives. Our lives were, we couldn't just carry on same old, same old. It didn't work for us anymore. And in doing that disruption, we ended up this move to Lebanon, and our lives got so beautiful in a way that we couldn't have imagined from where we stood before. But it was through staying in the narrows and making these hard choices, because on the outset, I didn't want to go to Lebanon. I was going far from my friends, I was going far from my family. But actually, when we got there, and of course, I didn't know it was my last 3 years with him, but there is nowhere I would rather have been for that last 3 years, because it was nothing but me, Ayman, and Aslan, the three of us. It was like we had more family time than most people ever get. We got to finish our life's work. He homeschooled his son for the last 3 years. All these things that I appreciated at the time, and I was like, okay, I'm this is good. But I appreciate even more in the retrospect of what was happening, on our souls' journeys. So it's a really important time. We're basically giving birth to more of yourself. And why I feel like I'm only just really coming out of it now is it coincided with when we moved to Lebanon, we put all our worldly possessions into storage, which is 6 years ago. And I just got them all out. So all my crystals, all
Wow.
my, like all my power, in a way, I had to just kind of put it on the side and deal with just us, just me, Ayman, and Aslan. It was like very pared down, and we were in a fully loaded family house, so I didn't need any of it. But like, it was so interesting to me that it was just now that it came back, and I could feel like, wow, my energy expanding. Like now I can be expansive again, you know?
Wow. That is so powerful. That is so. Speaking of powerful, we use the word power couple sometimes. You used a word about the relationship with Ayman. I don't remember what it was. How did you describe that relationship, your relationship?
Oh, I'm not sure what I said to you, but it was very much a kind of a destiny meeting
That's it.
between us, and we were really like we were very much partners on our evolutionary journey above all else. So like everything else was kind of secondary to that commitment to each other's
I know how
growth,
to describe it. I would describe it as joyful.
Wow.
And I feel his presence here now.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah, me too. It was an absolute honor to have a partner like that for the 30 years I did. I mean, he was extraordinary being.
One of the things I think is also key is that you say you recognize and are grateful in retrospect, and you also recognized and were grateful at the time. So knowing where we are in these steps or in this moment and being present in that seems to be a big part of emotional literacy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think it's one of the gifts of emotional literacy. And I think in the grieving process, I think one of the things I didn't get destroyed by it in the way that some people do. And he was my everything. He was, it wasn't like he was my partner, he was my lover, he was my co-parent. I had a lot of investment in that one person. And there was very little unfinished between us. So in those 3 years that we spent, we tucked in the edges of some of the much harder lessons that we face in relationship, like chauvinism and, all of these things that we don't even realize we're going to face when we put these labels of marriage and onto ourselves. And we really completed an amazing relationship together in this lifetime. And that just means that when I think of him, the overwhelming feeling is gratitude. The overwhelming feeling from the day he left. I mean, obviously, first I bawled my eyes out to the end of the world, and then it hit like as far deep down bottom dead as you could. And I just bounced back up and I just saw our lives as an overview, and I was just flooded with gratitude. And that has been, of course, sadness comes up sometimes and I have, little regrets, but I don't have any massive ones. And I know we did good by each other.
Wow. That seems like a topic for another show, and then there's another one after that. There's so many things. As a matter of fact, a show would be Sacred Commerce. It's a book already. Again, by both our both.
Yes.
I feel like both our guests. Sorry, Rowan, Gabrielle, of course, and Ayman Sawaf. So, Sacred Commerce, a blueprint for a new humanity. Of course, we've been talking about the age of consciousness, surfing through the disruption or surfing the disruption. Here we are. And there are so many more offerings, actually, as CEO of KidZQ, a learning platform with the mission of bringing emotional literacy to the world, specifically kids and their parents, teaching them how to teach their kids this or show their kids this, right?
Absolutely. It is really the job of modeling it, and it's not as hard as people think. It's actually the basics of it are so simple. But it's kind of the commitment to going there together as a family, to actually saying like, oh, why are we angry? Or, actually bothering to take the time and to pause. That first step of pause is so crucial when it comes to our emotions.
Yes, and you also mentioned that last step about partnership with the divine. That was beautiful too. There are seven steps in total, and that's all in the book, The Age of Consciousness, or The Age of Consciousness, right? And then, so we have several links to, including the podcast I mentioned, all on the website page for Rowan Gabrielle. And you can find her. Rowan is Rowan Gabrielle, GABRIELLE. And then, of course, KidsEQ, KIDSEQ.com. And there is an offering which already has been out there for a while. And that's emotional alchemy. You touched on that, right, Rowan?
Yes, I did a little bit. The Emotional Alchemy course is it's a 3-month course that I run every year for adults. And that's for the people that are really, that really, really want to like take charge of their lives and you know, take full responsibility. But we also have a new offering. The Kids EQ parent training is coming out in September, and March 22nd, we're going to release the beta test of the first module, which is anger. And we're actually offering that for free until March 22nd. So anyone that wants to sign up on kidseq.com can join that, and we just want your feedback. And we want to know that it really helps you or how it could help you more. Because we really, really want to roll this out into, you know, multiple languages. And we really feel that these tools have the potential to really help humanity start evolving a little bit quicker.
And that's at kidseq.com and the Facebook, Instagram, it's all Kids EQ on YouTube, Kids EQ Media. We
Yes.
have all those links at the Life Changes Show page for Rowan Gabrielle. Rowan, it feels like the beginning of a lot of things, and even as you're mentioning, for you as well. So more power to you, and looking forward to more from your camp and your work.
Oh, me too. Such a pleasure to share this with you all. What a great conversation. Thank you. Thank you for your interest, your beautiful questions, and everything that you guys do. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure as well. Thank you, Rowan. Rowan Gabrielle. Now I feel like I can surf easier rather than suffering. And I hope people feel that as well after this conversation.
Well, on that note, I should also say, I think amongst all those wonderful insights is the fact that I've been telling you for years, I'm just passionate. I'm not
No.
angry, I'm passionate.
Oh, that's. Wow. Okay. That anger, fear, and jealousy thing, I have to say, very interesting. And then the corollary of that was it joy, love, joy, and
Yeah, I'm glad
happiness?
she didn't walk through all the rest of the chakras because I was getting a little concerned. I was like, I got to do some work on these chakras.
No, I think love, joy, and happiness, you know what? That would have been a good question. I think are in the chakras just further up.
I'm sure that's correct.
Maybe for a conversation for next time, but so many insights.
So many insights, and it was so wonderful to feel Ayman's energy. And I was reflecting on my time working with both of them and his almost all-knowing, cheeky smile out of the side eye. But what an inspiration they are, she is, and the family. And I can't wait to see what Aslan has in store for us in the future as well, their son.
Yes. From what I heard, it's already good. Well, we are in the age of consciousness. And with that, at least I hope we are. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Karen, and I am reaching out once again for your loving and inspirational support. I have reached a very deep state of depression, and I'm thinking my best course of action is to just leave the planet. The man I have devoted myself to for over a year has left me for another woman. I haven't had a job for over 14 months, and the truth is, I just don't want to ever do the kind of corporate work I've done in the past. I've gone through my savings and don't have this next month's rent. How can I overcome all of these obstacles and find a reason to stick around?
Dearest Karen, I'm really sorry that you're feeling this way, and I'm very glad you're reaching out about it. When things feel this heavy, it can seem like there's no way out or no point in going on. But I want to make sure you know that your life does matter and that there are options, even when it feels like there aren't any. Since you're thinking about leaving the planet or just feeling like there's no way forward, I urge you to talk to someone who can support you through this moment, whether that's a close friend, a mental health professional, or a helpline. It's vital to have someone in your corner during these times, like in case I'm not immediately available. And please know that I'm glad you're here and that you've come to me for help. feeling this low and disconnected is so painful, but you do deserve faith, even if it feels distant at the moment. So let's break this down piece by piece. The pain of a breakup, especially after being devoted to someone for such a long time, is devastating. It's not just the loss of the person, but the loss of all the hopes and the future plans you had with them. You're grieving not only the end of the relationship, but also the version of your life you thought you'd have. That grief is real, and it will take time. But please remember that your value is not tied to this man or anyone else. You are worthy of love, respect, and happiness, regardless of what someone else has chosen. It may take time to rebuild trust in yourself, but it is possible. As for your financial struggles, money problems can compound everything else. And I understand that you're feeling very anxious about your finances and the fact that you are at risk for not being able to pay your rent. When it feels like survival is at stake, that's a huge source of stress. Have you looked into any of the local resources or programs that might offer emergency assistance for rent, food, or other bills? Sometimes there are community organizations that can help bridge the gap during difficult times. You don't have to carry the financial burden alone. As far as practical steps to supporting yourself, it's understandable that being out of work for a year would take its toll. You are saying that you don't want to continue doing what you've done in the past, but it sounds like your challenge is figuring out how to create a new path for yourself that's more fulfilling. Would you be open to exploring things you might be passionate about or curious about, even if they're not directly tied to traditional work? I've seen people go in so many different directions, from starting small online businesses based on a hobby to even just finding part-time work in an area they didn't expect, which can still provide flexibility and support while you explore. Is there anything that sparks even a small amount of interest for you, or perhaps something you've always wanted to try but never had the time or energy to pursue? It might seem like a big leap right now, but sometimes starting small can lead to bigger changes over time. So let's get together so we can discuss these ideas and come up with some solutions. I know you are a powerful and creative woman, and I feel strongly that you can find solutions that will bring you back into your power.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, start small and write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And now it's time for our performance segment. Our performance guest tonight has been on the show before. We have stayed in touch ever since. She has done some wonderful things and supported a lot of people and singers. We're happy to have her on again. She is singer, songwriter, producer, creative director, and a major positive disruptor out in the world. Ilana Lorraine, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Yo, thank you. Hey, how are you? How's that?
Great to have you back. And actually, we actually have been talking about surfing the disruption. And so, speaking of the last time we had you on the show, let's see, you were living in a geodesic dome. It was in the middle of the pandemic, if I remember correctly, and were starting something in support of people because they needed music, they needed to gather. Tell us what happened with that.
Wow. Okay. So just to recap, oh my gosh. So in the middle of lockdown, actually just before I lived in a geodesic dome, I kind of felt like there was no more live music. They were shutting down all the clubs that I was running my events, and artists had nowhere to perform and people had nowhere to hear live music. So I took my speaker into a big park in front of a huge pond, and sang. And it was meant to be a one-off day that I was going to go and sing actually to the water. It was so funny. It was like literally to the water because, of course, in lockdown, we had people were not allowed to be close to each other.
Yeah.
But the water carried my music. And I started to have like passers-by come and shout over to me, "Thank you so much. We heard you singing from the other side of the heath and we followed the sound." So, I started, so basically from that first day, I was like, "Oh my God." And so I went back the next day, and then I went back the next day. Anyway, long and short is it became 3 months. I met other
Wow.
people, a yoga teacher, a sound healer, a hula hooper. Different people all came together under some trees that we put fairy lights on. And yeah, and it became a community for COVID relief. That's what we called it, the fairy tale.
Actually, so that continued to go because I saw that you were doing other similar things, but even on a bigger scale.
Yeah. So before that, I was running a night for independent artists called Sessions 58. And I was putting that on in like different speakeasies and members clubs in London. But after lockdown, I actually ended up rebuilding it. But because it was like a big bang of like venues reopening, I added the word rise, like Session 58 Rise. And I started elevating those same independent artists to the more kind of, let's say, high-end venues in London, the jazz clubs, the venues that had more of a prestigious look. So these same artists suddenly felt elevated. And at the same time as that, I was also asked by the local community centre, where I was singing actually, if I could run an open mic night for the local community. And that
Nice.
was more for, yeah, that was in the town hall. And that was like amazing. It was for people that actually like don't normally sing. I even had like someone that was like a homeless guy. I had people that were really shy to come to the mic, but we kind of enthused them to come up. And it was people that had like in the community that just needed to like have a voice. So we even had like poets. And then the community center then actually allowed me to use their grand hall. They just gave me access. It's so crazy to this like huge hall with a grand piano, and they let me use it for my rehearsals. And I decided to put on a cabaret show for all this talent that I'd heard. Yeah, all this talent that I met during lockdown. We put this like show together in 10 days of like aerial. What do you call it? Like circus
Wow.
performer. We had a hula hooper. We had a puppeteer. We had a pianist, I had like a jazz player. Then obviously I sang, and it was amazing. Oh my gosh, it was so amazing. And that was also in that same community. So the people that were there to see me in Hampstead Heath during lockdown all came to the hall, and I kind of made it look like a supper club, and everyone had to dress up, and it was beautiful.
Well, as we can hear, well, Ilana's mission, or at least one of them, is to bring light to the world. And so when some people say, like, I'm just one person, what can I do? Well, Ilana is one person, and this is what she's doing. Actually, that's not all she's doing, but it's an example of what can happen in the community and what support can happen because one person started something or followed that light inside, so to speak. So I have a feeling that
Yeah,
I
it's
have a
interesting because it's like a ripple effect. I just wanted to say that,
yes.
like how the water carried the voice, which was really like, honestly, like everyone I met said they heard the voice on the other side of the heath. And that's what water did. And it was like this ripple effect, like one person does something and then another
Nice.
person does something. And I felt like I started to notice the inner light in so many people, like people that didn't even know the talents they had. Like, there's so much talent that people don't even realize they have. And I really think that we all need to like, share our light. It's time to like not be scared, basically.
Wow. And there it is. Well, here you are. You're also living the other part of your mission. Actually, I don't know if this is your mission. It's what you do. From what I can tell, inspire, connect, and elevate audiences, which I think this ties into the first song we're going to get to hear of yours that is new.
It
Tell
is,
us
yeah.
tell us as we get into this song.
Yeah, okay. So this is a bit heavy, but positive and hopeful. Obviously, it's been a crazy year of so many things going on in the world. And after lockdown, when everyone kind of came up again, there's still like this, there was a glimpse of light, but there's been a lot of darkness. And then October 7th happened, which touched me like immensely because I was meant to be in Israel, and for a series of events, I didn't go. Actually, the main reason I didn't go, I was meant to be performing for one of the biggest artists in Israel, and when I realized that the performance, which was meant to be at Masada, the mountain, was on a Friday night, I'm Jewish, I and my father was a rabbi, I actually turned down the show. And by turning down the show, because you're not
Wow.
permitted to go out on a Friday night, it would have been like my biggest show ever. And by turning down the show, I missed being there for October 7th. It was like,
Wow.
yeah, it's like, it was crazy. And then 3 days after, two Israelis were stuck in London and they came to stay, like, one was staying with me. So I was like looking after him in my house. And we wrote this song that you're gonna hear and we recorded it the same day. And we got cellists and a grand piano, and it was like the universe conspired for us to do it. The song is called
Wow.
It's Not Over Till It's Over. It's emotional, but it's hopeful. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. When I heard it, I had no idea that it had the deeper meaning than I was already giving it. So I can't wait for the audience to hear this. Thank you for sharing it with us and bringing it to the show along with the story.
Thank you.
Here is Ilana Lorraine's new song, It's Not Over, pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show.
Playing, looking in your eyes. We're on the edge of darkness, like embers, we still shine. It's not over till it's over. For the sake of what we have it all. There's a spark in us that keeps us holding on. It's not over till it's over. There's a plan for us to plant another tree. In our wounds, the everlasting lap will be. There's a grace above that keeps us holding on. It's not over. Till it's over, the silence in my heart beats, calling me back home. Racing thoughts of the violence, but we're not alone. It's not over till it's over. For the sake of what we have it all. Spark in us that keeps us holding on. It's not over till it's over. There's a seed of hope that waits inside of me for the heart of man to beat for humanity. Let us spread our wings to the garden of our dreams. It's not over till it's over. On and on, we'll dance to break the dawn.
Ilana Lorraine.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much. I paused because I could still hear the song keep going, and I didn't want to interrupt that feeling. Find Ilana Lorraine on Instagram at Ilana, I-L-A-N-A, and Lorraine, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E. You know, I thought, wow, almost every lyric in that song could be, should be, would be a meme I'd like to see. Season of Hope.
Yeah.
It's a New Dawn.
Yeah.
Is it Shining Supernova? We Are One?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. Make memes.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh my god, maybe that's gonna be the promotion of it. And you know, it's funny. So we I'm always like every artist, we want perfection, you know? But there was something about this song, like I wanted to add the heartbeat. At the end of the song, I don't know if you noticed that there's a heartbeat, but when he added the heartbeat, not actually in time, and there was only, it actually then grew on me that the heartbeat wasn't in time with the rhythm, which made it feel even more alive, which I really like. I now love that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, when you listen back to it one day,
I'll have to. Yeah.
I was also, the plan was that at the end of the song, I was going to read a Psalms in English. I lift my eyes to the mountains, for where shall my help come? You know, my help come from the Lord. So I had this idea of having my father's voice or lots of different voices saying that, but we just never got around to recording it. And my father's got Alzheimer's, so it was like hard to get it to happen.
Mm.
And then, you know, it was like, you know, I almost kind of like the fact that there's nothing there. You know, the emptiness of the end being just the life itself, the heartbeat being just the heartbeat kind of thing. So I really, for me, it's so, you know, thank you for playing it because you reminded me just to listen back. It's like, I really want to instill hope into people and like that glimpse of light that we have in us. It's like a flicker of light is enough, you know? So like Holocaust survivors, we're coming up to the Holocaust Memorial Day and, you know, all of these things, like it's like the love inside of you, the light inside of you, the hope inside of you that lets us move on. So that's really...
Thank you for sharing that piece. I now see why I didn't want to interrupt that ending as it was going through. Wow. And you know, interesting, this ties into the second song we're going to hear, but before we get into the second song, which is another deep one, before we get into the second song, just really briefly, I hear these things going on, and I hear names, I hear Adele, I hear Geffen Music,
I hear
Motown. Tell me, what's going on?
So it's really funny because I post a video of one of my songs called Savior when I went into a piano shop. I hated the way I looked. I played it a little bit wrong on the piano and my voice was a bit raspy like right now. And I had Glenn Lewis's manager see the video, send it to someone and write, hey, why don't you produce this? And it was Adele's music director, and he loved the song. But the funny thing of the story, without going into like the unraveling of all of it, is, you know, sometimes we hear like these big names and actually that's not the direction, and actually like they're more like winks from the universe. They're not even meant to happen. You're just meant to get like a wink, like, hey, this is a good song, or, you know, to give you a boost of confidence. What actually happened is he asked me to write some songs, and one of the songs that I wrote that I thought but didn't think was going towards Adele's people. I knew, having been in the industry for a long time, that was a little bit of a, like, you know, yeah, maybe. So I didn't think about it much. And about 6 months later, I had a call from Israel from one of the biggest artists to ask if they could have my song.
Oh.
I turned them down because I didn't know who they were. And they flew to London and I met her, and she's like this angelic being. And I ended up giving her the song.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But from all of that, I ended up going to Israel and I have met lots of people, and I'm working with all these like incredible producers, which led to me now working with the ex-president of Interscope and Geffen Music. So people, the guy that was Ronnie Vance is his name. He was behind like Change the World, Eric Clapton, Barbra Streisand. He was like the one that, got these songs published, and he wants me to sing on a new gospel project of old songs sung by people that are
Wow.
Jewish. So I'm singing gospel songs and I'm writing for that. And also within that project is the ex A&R of Motown Music. So they're kind of working together. It's like a dream of mine that I spoke about so long ago, listening to so many Motown artists as a child. And I feel it's all happening now. I'm really grateful, basically. I don't know what will happen from it, but it feels this, the process is the beautiful part,
The process is a beautiful part. Thank you for saying that. We need to be reminded of that. And actually, I was just talking about that earlier in the show. So, perfect. And speaking of talking earlier in the show, I was speaking about the LA fires. You reached out to find out how Mark and I and Dorothy, how we were all doing out here in LA, and then this song, tell us about it.
No, I was so affected when I saw the fires in LA. Every place I saw the fires, I've stayed there and I know people, and it was heartbreaking. But what made it even more heartbreaking was I've just spent like 5 months in Israel, and I went to the site of Kibbutz Be'eri and Nova, where there were terror attacks and houses and people, unfortunately, like devastatingly, tragically, houses burnt to ashes. And I met, in fact, a best friend of Miri, someone called Carmit Devori, who survived with 25 members of her family because her daughter surprised all 25 members of the family tickets to Cyprus just 2 days before the massacre. They all lived on Kibbutz Be'eri, and they flew reluctantly because she's the one that organizes the Simchat Torah, the Jewish holiday activities, but they all still flew and their houses were all burnt down and they were safe, like a miracle. And I met her and I saw how the friendship she had with Miri was everything for her, and it's all she needed, and her family was all she needed. And I wrote a song about that, but we may not have like the shelter, or things can break around us and crumble around us, but when you have connection, love, family, friends, that really is the glue that holds us together, and that's what the song is about.
Wow. Well, here is Ilana Lorraine's pre-recorded song,
Record,
Shelter.
sorry, with Davy Nathan. I just want to say it was written with Davy Nathan.
Ah, wonderful. And here it is on the Life Changes Show.
Your heart is on fire, only the ashes remain. Feeling beaten and tired, catching your breath through the pain. I know you've been far from home, lost yourself in the unknown, wandering on your own. But I hope that you know this one thing: if ever you needed a friend, I'll be right there in a minute. I won't let go till the end. Forever my heart is still in it. I'll be your North Star. I know that it's gonna get better. I'll be your guide, always by your side. I'll be your shelter. You know that I'll be your shelter. All of the windows have shattered, all of the doors lost their keys. Get through this faith, don't you lose it. I need you to shelter with me, 'cause I know you've been gone from home, wandering on your own. But I hope that you know this one thing. If ever you needed a friend, I'll be right there in a minute. I won't let go till the end. Forever my heart is still in it. I'll be your always by your side. I'll be your shelter. Oh, you know that I'll be your shelter.
Ilana Lorraine, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, Davey Nathan is so talented. We met and wrote the song and recorded the song. Actually, same story. The same day, we got access also to a grand piano. Wow. Okay. I'm so grateful to him. Really, thank you guys for playing it.
Thank you for letting us play. I think we're the first to get to play it. So
actually, only Clubhouse has heard it.
Wow. No one
else. But do you know what? I just to say again about Davey Nathan, I was doing a showcase in Israel and he just happened to be, he's a really big producer from LA, and he just happened to be downstairs in the bar where I went to eat. And we got chatting because he was a friend of a friend. And he came up to the jam that was like following my show, heard me sing and said, oh my God, I love your voice. That night I invited him to my studio in Israel and we wrote the song. And then I remembered that my friend that has a big studio, I was meant to go and have a coffee with him. And everything unraveled to us being offered to record it on the grand piano. So it was really, again, I really feel like it was really from God that it happened so quickly and beautifully.
Well, it seems that so many good things happen to you, the ripple effect and the fact that you're doing so many good things for a lot of people. At the same time, I also know that you have had a lot of things going on and we won't get into it, but personally you've had stuff that is hard and not fun. And I love what you said about it all, which is where I want to land on this as we bring this to a close together. You said, yes, and you know they've made you stronger.
Wow, it's true. It really is though. I feel that I had three conversations today with friends that are going through things. And I was telling them, you know, if we don't talk about the story, but we remember that every moment is a new moment and the challenges that we're faced with are like, you know, again, they're these things that are there to provide us with a strength to give to others and to give to ourselves. Like life becomes really magical. And I have to say with what I'm going through, there's a lot of magic going on at the same time, you know? And so, yes, thank you for ending on such a positive note because it's true.
Thank you for bringing it to the Life Changes show and looking forward to the next time we connect. As a matter of fact, we have a plan to connect on the side. And until then, in the meantime, Ilana Lorraine, what a pleasure. Reminding everybody that it's Ilana Lorraine on Instagram. Find her at A-L-A-N-A.
I'm sorry.
I-L. Yes. I-L-A-N-A and Lorraine, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E. Thank you, Ilana.
Thank you guys so much for having me and sending you all loads and loads of love.
All the best to you. And so with a big thank you to Ilana Lorraine and another one to Rowan Gabrielle, our interview guest. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, I'm almost getting emotional at this one, as your life changes like ours surely has, and as it surely has tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.